Grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
We worship your glory, eternal three in one, and we praise your power, majestic one in three. Keep us steadfast in this faith, defend us in all adversity, and bring us at last into your presence, where you live in endless joy and love, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen. Amen.
Please be seated.
I invite any children forward for the children's message.
Four.
Oh, there's four? Now we've got some people.
Yes,
we're all children. We can all come sit up here if you want. Well, I'm going to stand up here today so that I don't get a few germs on you. I'm doing pretty well, but I just don't want to get too sick. So. Oh, are you? So I'm going to... Oh, just a little bit? No, Tom. So, well, today is Trinity Sunday, so we're celebrating the fact that we worship a triune God. We have one Father, one Son, and one Holy Spirit. Do you know who the Son is?
Jesus.
That's right. Do you know who the Father is?
God.
That's right, God. And then the Spirit is, well, the Spirit. That's right. It's in everything. It's all around us. Today, Jesus also, and last week, Pastor Bill Raddatz, I don't know if you were here. You're probably in Sunday school, probably not around, you know, at different places, right? Pastor Bill Raddatz in his sermon talked about the fact that the wind and the water can be really powerful forces on earth.
Oh, because you can break down buildings.
That's right. Can you think of some of the other things that might be powerful in this world? There's the ocean that breaks down rocks, yeah?
Fire.
Fire can be a really powerful, very destructive. Yeah. Earth. How can Earth be really destructive?
Like earthquakes.
Yeah, that's true. It can shake, it can be really destructive.
Glass.
Yeah, glass actually can be really, really powerful. It's very brittle and it can be really hurtful and violent, right? But Jesus talks about different power today. Jesus talks about his power, and that he's been imbued with all the power from heaven and on earth. All of the powers. All of those things that we have in power. The ocean, glass, earth, fire, and all those things are little tiny powers that are on earth, right? So you can imagine how much power Jesus has if he has all the power from heaven and on earth. Huge amount, right?
He has the power of light, sound, water, fire, earth, and glass.
Yeah, there's elements. Yeah, it's very elemental. But Jesus also has powers beyond that. Jesus has the creative power of the Father. So, God. That's right. Jesus can give life. That's absolutely right. There's power in that. And Jesus has all the powers that he had on earth to heal and to be around and to make sure everything was okay and calm the storms and perform miracles. But Jesus also has the power of that comes down just like the Spirit.
Yeah.
No, well, you know, we don't want to think about Jesus bringing death. Definitely life, though. Life is definitely what this God is about.
If he can bring death, life, and everything.
Well, we hope that he won't bring death. but then he has this final power of the Spirit, because the Spirit comes down too, and the Spirit brings us together. The Spirit keeps us going.
What's the Spirit?
The Spirit is... what proceeds from Father, it's like this mighty wind that goes over everything, and it fills us, and it fills our homes, and it fills the earth, and recreates everything. So, at the end of the day, Jesus has all these powers, right? But does he use them?
Not very often.
No. Instead, what does he do? He uses
the wise one,
the good one. So the Spirit comes, and he uses us. And so today, Jesus doesn't say, I'm going to use all these powers for destruction. Jesus says, I'm going to send you. He did that once. That is true. Do you remember when that was?
He didn't know anything.
Oh, well, that's God, definitely. But yes, that's imbued with the power. Yeah?
He made the water rise and he told someone to build a boat after today.
Oh, that's definitely Noah. That's definitely this. But still, this is good. He has that power. But he sends us instead. He fills us with the Spirit, and he gives us that power to do these things. Isn't that interesting? That it's his, that even though he has all this destructive power, he doesn't actually destroy anything. He uses everything for life and gives it to us to maintain life.
It's like Moses spreading the water?
Yeah, and going through, right? Going through the waters of the Red Sea. I think that's right. So, yeah, one more thing.
Why did they say the Red Sea is red when it's actually not red?
I don't know that. Unfortunately, with everything I know, I don't know that. So let's pray, okay? So, dear Lord, we thank you so much that you have sent us Jesus and that you send us out with your Spirit. You will always be with us. Remind us of this each and every day as we work to build your faithful people on earth. Through Christ our Lord, we pray. Amen. Do you want to take the Bible? All right. I'm eager.
A reading from Genesis. In the beginning, when God created the heavens and the earth was a formless void, and darkness covered the face of the deep, while a wind from God swept over the face of the waters. Then God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And God saw that the light was good, and God separated the light from the darkness. He called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was morning, the first day. And God said, "Let there be a dome in the midst of the water, and let it separate the waters from the waters." So God made the dome and separated the waters that were under the dome from the waters that were above the dome. And it was so. God called the dome sky, and there was evening, and there was morning, the second day. And God said, "Let the waters under the sky be gathered together into one place, and let the dry land appear." And it was so. God called the dry land earth, and the waters that were gathered together he called seas. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, "Let the earth put forth vegetation, plants yielding seed, and fruit trees of every kind on the earth that bear fruit with a seed in it." And it was so. The earth brought forth vegetation, plants yielding every seed of every kind, and trees of every kind bearing fruit with the seed in it. And God saw that it was good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the third day. And God said, "Let there be lights in the dome of the sky to separate the day from the night. And let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years. And let them be lights in the dome of the sky to give light upon the earth." And it was so. God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night and the stars. God set them in the dome of the sky to give light upon the earth, to rule over the day and over the night, and to separate the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the fourth day. And God said, "Let the waters bring forth swarms of living creatures, and let birds fly above the earth across the dome of the sky." So God created the great sea monsters and every living creature that moves, of every kind with which the waters swarm, and every winged bird of every kind. And God saw that it was good. God blessed them, saying, "Be fruitful and multiply and fill the waters in the seas, and let the birds multiply on the earth." And there was evening, and there was morning, the fifth day. And God said, "Let the earth bring forth living creatures of every kind, cattle and creeping things, and wild animals of the earth of every kind." And it was so. God made the wild animals of the earth of every kind, and the cattle of every kind, and everything that creeps upon the ground of every kind. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, "Let us make humankind in our image, according to our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the wild animals of the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth." So God created humankind in his image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. God blessed them, and God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply, and fill the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves upon the earth. God said, see, I have given you every plant yielding seed that is upon the face of the earth, and every tree with seed in its fruit. You shall have them for food. And to every beast of the earth, and to every bird of the air, and to everything that creeps upon the earth, everything that has the breath of life, I have given every green plant for food. And it was so. God saw everything he had made, and indeed, it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the sixth day. Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all their multitude. And on the seventh day, God finished the work that he had done. And he rested on the seventh day from all the work that he had done. So God blessed the seventh day and hallowed it, because on it God rested from all the work that he had done in creation. There are generations of the heavens and the earth when they were created. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
Let us pray Psalm 8 responsibly. Our Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth.
You whose glory ends,
the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars you have set in their courses.
What are you
less than divine? With glory and honor you crown them.
You have made them
flocks and cattle, even the wild beasts of the sea, of the field. Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth.
Glory to the Father.
From 2 Corinthians, Paul writes, finally, brothers and sisters, farewell. Put things in order. Listen to my appeal. Agree with one another. Live in peace. And the God of love and peace will be with you. Greet one another with a holy kiss. All the saints greet you. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Be with all of you. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
The Holy Gospel according to Matthew, the 28th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And remember, I am with you always to the end of the age. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise you, O Christ.
Please be seated.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. That's my greeting to you this morning. It's actually Paul's farewell. This letter that he writes to 2 Corinthians, that's how he ends it today. And it's here today because this is Trinity Sunday. And as scholars look at it, that's one of the first formulations of the Trinity. You may already know that Trinity Sunday is the only Sunday in the church year where we celebrate a doctrine of the church. And it's a doctrine that sometimes has become contentious. If you talk with Jews or Muslims, they say there's only one God. Why do you say there are three? And of course, we try to then explain. I don't know if you've ever found yourself in that situation trying to explain. Maybe you've been a little tongue-tied. Partly because it is, the church describes it as, a mystery. Now, mystery can mean lots of things to many of us. In many ways, in the faith, it means being able to hold two things that the world thinks are contradictory together. Like the number three and one at the same time. We're going to sing a hymn at the end of the sermon here. It tries to describe the Trinity as a dance, not so much numbers or trying to explain how it works. A dance. I think that's a marvelous mystery, to try to envision the Trinity as a dance. And it says that him, pay attention to it, that the Trinity creates room for us to be in that dance. It's like an invitation for us to join. Paul at least points to what seems to be central to our Christian message. Grace of Jesus Christ, love of God, communion of the Holy Spirit, community of the Holy Spirit. In some ways, what the Trinity tries to tell us is that when we try to talk about God, we cannot do it without describing God as a relationship somehow. That's how we best know God, the communion of the Holy Spirit. So the math in the kingdom of God and the math of the Trinity is about this interweaving God who is abundant in grace and love. So I want to invite you today to practice with me some kingdom math. I'm going to ask you, if you've got a cell phone or a smartphone, if you'll take it out. I know pastors always say, put it away, turn it off. I'm going to ask you to silence it, but I want you to take it out. If you don't have that, if you have a calculator in your purse or on you, take that out, please. You're going to need it to do some kingdom math here. You can also take out a pencil if you're better at that, or you can just listen if that's what you prefer. So we're going to practice. Everyone got your cell phones out? Okay, go to your calculator. Here's your first puzzle. Ready? 1 plus 1 plus 1 equals?
3.
I think you all forgot to turn your phone over in the back. There's a switch back there for Trinity Sunday where it changes the way it calculates back there. But that's okay. We'll still work with this a little bit. So I'm going to try another one. Clear your phone. This one is 1 plus 1 plus 1 plus 1 plus 1 plus 1 plus 1. What do you get?
7?
That one is 1. I guess it's still not working right. We read in Ephesians, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, one body, one spirit, one hope. A lot of ones going on there, isn't it? And yet, what an amazing description of the Christian community. What God hopes for. Let's try another one. Ready? Clear your calculator. 250 times 1 comes to?
1.
Somebody got it. Your calculator is working, right? 250 is what I'm told is about the membership of St. Peter's Lutheran Church. And Jesus prays for you. We just studied this 2 weeks ago in the lesson from John. Jesus prays that you may be one as he and the Father are one. But you know, being one, I think, is some of the hardest math that we have to do. Not just a congregation of 250, but the challenge is for you and Christians throughout the world to be the one body of Christ, to be one with incredible numbers. Okay, clear your calculator. Ready? We're going to go to some other kingdom math. This is math in the kingdom of God. What's 6 times 3?
1.
Somebody said 1. No, it's either 0 or 180. So how do we do that? Remember the story? There were 6 stone jars at a wedding feast, and they were filled with water. Jesus' first miracle. He changes the water into wine. So either there are 0 gallons of water or 180 gallons of wine. As you read that, that's a lot of wine for a party. In fact, there's so much wine left from that party, we get some of it today as part of our service. It is a party to make us one with Christians throughout the centuries. The math in the kingdom of God is always a math of abundance, of grace and love. Try this one. Clear your calculator. This one's a little fun. You pick a number between 1 and 9, any number. Put that one in. Now multiply that by 9. Now multiply that by this very big number. You ready? 12,345,679 and hit equal. Do you see your number there?
Yeah.
And your number is there in abundance, isn't it? There are many of them. That's all that's on that calculator. That's what the mystery of the Trinity is about. That's what the math in the kingdom of God is like. So let's practice a little more. Clear your calculator. How many times should you forgive your neighbor when they've wronged you?
7 times 70.
Okay, so put in 7 times 70, right? And what do you get? This is a real one, so 490. Okay, 490. I don't know if there's any apps for your phone for keeping track of offenses that people have had against you. 490 is a long way to go when you know when you say, Jim, you shouldn't have done that to me yesterday. That's number 110. But that's the point. It's too many to count. We shouldn't be counting. Forgive us our sins, God, as we forgive those who sin against us. Try this another way. Clear your calculator. Put in 10,000. Actually, this is going to be a choice. You put in 10,000 minus 10,000 and then hit equal. That's your first choice. The second one is 50 times 1. That's your second choice. Which of those would you pick? The second one? Well, let's find out in one of the parables. There's a parable that Jesus tells and he says, this servant owed his master 10,000 talents. How much is a talent? They say it's about the equivalent of a day's wage. So I want you to do this math in your calculator now. Ready? Do 10,000. You clear it first. 10,000. Everybody punching in? Divided by 365. And what do you get? 27. That's 27 years of salary that this servant owed his master. And the master forgives. It's zero. He forgives all 10,000. And then that very servant has a friend who only owes him 50. That's only a couple months of salary. And he not only will not forgive it, but he puts him in jail until he can pay it. What is it about us that wants to punish those who offend us? When in the kingdom of God, the math of God, God's forgiveness of us is more like the 10,000. Than it is like the 490. Go and do likewise, Jesus tells us. So clear your calculator. Next one coming up here. What's 7 plus 7 plus 7 plus 7? 28. Yeah, you see your calculators are working right, huh? Second Chronicles. This is the required sin offering. 7 rams, 7 goats, 7 bulls, 7 lambs out of the Old Testament. How about the one who we know as the Lamb of God? How many sin offerings does he require from you?
Zero.
All he asks for is a sincere and contrite heart. That's the way we experience God in the Trinity. That's what the Trinity is trying to tell the world, how we have experienced God. So clear your calculator again. You ready? What's 100 minus 1? Well, we like to say 99, don't we? That's in our world, that's how we count success. If we've succeeded 99 times out of 100, that's good, right? You get a raise in your salary for that, right? In the kingdom of God, the answer is 1. That's how valuable the one who is lost is to God. In the parables that Jesus teaches us, the kingdom math is always different than our own. Another way of looking at this is, which do you think is better? 2 for 1 cent, that's the Matthew version, or 5 for 2 cents? Well, I'll let you debate that one. Of course, those are the descriptions in there of the value of buying sparrows in the market, especially if you have to make sacrifices. And yet we are told the Lord does not forget one of them. So how much more valuable are you to God? You are invited into this interwoven dance of the Trinity as a creature and a son and a daughter in God's kingdom. And there might be times when you feel lost in this vastness of space and wonder about your value. That's when you need that, to read that kingdom map, that parable that says you, that one, are as valuable to God as the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. So this one you don't need a calculator for. What do you get now in your bank on average for your savings account? What percent? 3.3, maybe? Big, higher, lower, right? Jesus says, invest in me and you will get 300%, 600%, 1,000%. Well, he uses agricultural terms. A seed that goes into the good soil will be multiplied 30, 60, 100 fold. Let's try that in another way. You're going to need your calculator for this one. You ready? Okay, what's 12 divided by 2 times, parentheses, 1 plus 1 plus 1? Which, of course, is the Trinity, right? And the answer is, I know that's a hard one to get on your calculator, isn't it? Well, in case you didn't get it, the answer is 2.1 billion. Anybody's calculator come up with that? No? Well, here's the way it goes. There were 12 disciples. Jesus sent them out two by two, right? To share the good news, this good news about the love, the grace, and the communion of the Holy Spirit and their abundance in the world. And now there are 2.1 billion Christians in the world. That doesn't count all those that have gone before us in the centuries. This kingdom math of the Trinity is about abundance and multiplication. That's the way the kingdom of God works. So clear your calculators again. Here we go again. What's 5 plus 2? Equals 7. That's exactly what the disciples said. Hey, we've only got 7 here. We only got 5 loaves and 2 fish. Try this for on multiplication. What's 5,000 plus X plus Y? Of course, we don't know because we don't know X and Y, right? You have to have one of those fancy calculators that has those in there, right? But you still have to know those numbers. 5,000 people were there to listen to Jesus. 5,000 men, we are told. And women and children, X and Y. We don't know how many of them. They didn't get counted in that day. And the disciples are overwhelmed. How can we feed so many with so little? They are discouraged. We can get discouraged too in the world we live in. Try these really big numbers. Clear your calculator. What's 3,000 times 7.5 billion? How many zeros is a billion? 12? If your calculator is like mine, it won't fit on your screen. There's not enough numbers. 7.5 billion is the population of the human species in our planet right now. 3,000 is the number of per person, per day, calories of food that are already available in our world, per person. There is enough. This is kingdom math. God, goodness is abundance. And yet we know that two-thirds of our world suffers from poor nutrition, some starving to death. Try this very hard number. Clear your calculator. What's 17,000 times zero? Zero. They say right now it is 17,000 children under 5 years of age that die every day in our world because of hunger-related causes. Someone has said, that's like 20 jumbo jets filled with children crashing every day. When was the last time you saw that in our news? That doesn't make our headlines at all. There are some who have said that hunger is the most lethal weapon of mass destruction on our planet today. And it doesn't make the news. And we get overwhelmed by those numbers. What can we do? We have so little. That problem is so big. What can we possibly do? And that's when we need to pay attention to Trinity math. the math of the kingdom of God. It's about God's abundance. So get your calculators out again. This one's going to be a hard one if your calculator isn't one of those fancy ones. What's 5,000 plus X plus Y divided by 5 plus 2? Anyone guess that answer? It's 12. There's 12 baskets left over when Jesus feeds all of those disciples. The issue is not that they have too little. They have more than enough. They just didn't know it. But in listening to Jesus, they found it out. Go into all the world with this good news, is what we are told to do. Here's one more. Clear your calculator. What's 6 times 125? Anybody got an answer? It's not 1 this time. 750? I think that's what I came up with, all right? 6 is the number of St. Peter's Lutheran Church members who went on Monday to Taco. And they served 125 meals, roughly. And you know, if it's like, I wasn't there, but if it's like most of the meals they could serve there, there were no leftovers. That's not because there wasn't enough. It's because most people came back for seconds and thirds and sometimes fourths. It was a meal of abundance. So sometimes we can get overwhelmed by the incredible problems that are there, and yet we are invited right now to do sometimes what might seem like small numbers. They didn't serve an overwhelming number of people at that meal, but they did serve 125 abundantly. You did, as a congregation. We are in a world where bad news gets all the attention. If it bleeds, it leads. I want you, when you get discouraged by that number and say, what can we possibly do? Do we just give up and hope to get out of here? To do math of the kingdom. And this simple math, try it. I want you to think about today, that if you go out and you do one act of kindness, one act of goodness to somebody else that you might not have otherwise done, because you are inspired by this notion of the love of God and the grace of Jesus Christ and the communion of the Holy Spirit, and then multiply that by 2.1 billion, the number of Christians that are in the world who hopefully are going to do one of those deeds today like you did. And the number won't fit on your calculator if it's like mine. It is too big. We get overwhelmed by the bad news that's there. I think we can safely say, and my numbers are just guesses, that for every act of terrorism, for every news story that's about bad news and violence in our world, there were 100,000 acts of goodness and kindness done at the same time throughout the world that never, ever make it into the news. But that's the kingdom math that we talk about. Even that figure of 17,000 children who die each day from hunger, 20 years ago, that was 30,000. We have made big impacts on trying to solve hunger in the world. Any way you figure it, math in the kingdom of God is always about abundance, abundance of grace and love and goodness of God. Psalm 105 says, God's mindfulness of this covenant that he has with us lasts for 1,000 generations. You may not be very good at math. And let me tell you, if you're wondering about the Trinity and the math of Trinity, you can almost always have two answers that are right. One is one, as we found out. That's often a good answer. The other is 1,000. 1,000 in Scripture usually just means lots, a big number. It's like when we talk about billion, none of us can actually hold what that is in our minds, but we just mean more than we can imagine. That's the way Scripture uses 1,000. So Psalm 105 says, God is mindful of his covenant for 1,000 generations. Let me ask you, how many years to God are like one evening past? You know that hymn? 1,000. One more question. how many tongues would you like to have to sing the praises of God? 1,000 is a good answer. Amen.